The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Car New, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. While you're doing your house cleaning, I'm sure you don't say to yourself, I'm doing this so my family will have a clean, sanitary home to live in. And yet that thought is undoubtedly in the back of your mind all the time. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons so many women have adopted the wax method of housekeeping. A waxed home is a clean home, and a clean home is sanitary and healthy. It's easier to keep out dust and dirt when floors, furniture, and woodwork are regularly protected with a gleaming coat of Johnson's Wax. All of these surfaces can be kept dirt-free with a great saving of time and work. Of course, it is true that the primary function of wax is to protect these surfaces against wear as well as against dirt. And it's also true that nothing gives greater charm and beauty than the polished surfaces that you'll find in every home that's protected and kept clean and sanitary with the regular use of genuine Johnson's Wax, paste, liquid, or cream. Havana is noted for three exports: rum, the Rumba, and good cigars. The squire of 79 Wistful Vista doesn't care for rum. His hips aren't geared for the Rumba. But a good cigar, just sniff the air as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Boy. Take a look at that cigar, Molly. Ain't that a beaut?
What's so beautiful about it?
Well, the color, for one thing, and the fragrance. Boy, if you could bottle that like perfume, you'd have every guy over 20 in the country dabbing it behind his ears.
In the country, yes. The air is fresher out there.
It isn't often I get my clutches on a gorgeous hunk of tobacco like this, baby. 40 cents a copy for cigars is a little rich for my plasma.
Well, who on earth is foolish enough to spend 40 cents on a potential pile of ashes and give it away after he got it?
Mr. France, the ticket agent of the Santa Fe's wife, just had a baby.
Oh. Yeah.
So France is handing out the smokes.
Well, is it a boy or girl?
Girl. Colorado Clara, one of the finest cigars that...
No, no. I don't mean the cigar, I mean Mr. France's baby.
Oh, I don't know. I forgot to ask. Gee, I almost hate to light this cigar, you know what?
I almost hate to have you. But I can always start cooking something with onions. Sort of start a backfire, as it were.
Don't worry about this cigar smelling up the house, kid. This will be like squirting Christmas night around with a fly spray. Got a match, pal?
Right beside you on the smoking stand.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could hold it out the window and wait for lightning to strike it.
Too late in the year for lightning. Well, here goes. wonderful. Oh, boy. Stick around, Molly, and get a few whiffs of what a really good cigar ought to smell like. Pull up a chair.
If I followed my instincts, I'd pull up a window. You know, the last time you smoked a gift cigar, the draperies faded, the goldfish died, and Mrs. Roosevelt left the country?
Well, it ain't often a guy gives me a heater like this one. Boy, look at the texture of that smoke. That's quality.
Heavenly days, if the smoke from a cigar makes you this happy, maybe... Come in.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, McGee.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hi, Doc Olsock. Have a chair and we'll swap lies about where to go and get a good T-bone steak.
I'm awfully careful where I buy my meat these days. Had a steak the other night that shied at my napkin. Made me a little suspicious. Pardon me, but is there a feather bed on fire around here?
That's McGee's cigar, Doctor. A proud father gave it to him, and I'm awfully happy it wasn't twins.
What brand of rhubarb is that, McGee? What do you mean, rhubarb? This is a genuine Pomona Bologna. Don't you mean a Kelowna Kelowna? Smells like somebody's mustache was burning.
It's probably the kind your patients send you on Christmas instead of paying their bills, Doctor, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a 40-cent cigar if it's a cent.
And it's certainly that. Tell you what you better do, Mrs. McGee, until the government issues gas masks. You better wrap yourself in blankets, put a damp cloth over your face, open all the windows, and if you see any mice running out of the house, you go too. Animals have an instinct for impending danger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some animals. Maybe I've overestimated the lethal aspects of that incendiary pacifier, Mrs. McGee. I have an idea he'll soon get tired of having ashes fall on his sweater.
Oh, don't worry about the ashes on this cigar, Doctor. Oh. This is the kind of a cigar I can smoke clear down to my molars before the ashes fall off. Don't you know the better the cigar, the longer the ashes will hold?
Any fifth grader smoking corn silk behind the silo knows that, McGee.
Then what do you want to make such stupid statements for? I'll bet you $20 I can smoke the ashes 8 inches long on this cigar.
That would be the neatest trick of the week, dearie.
Betcha.
The cigar was only 6 inches long in the first place.
Well, it's a still better trick when you consider that McGee hasn't seen $20 in 40 years.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I'll bet you $5. Fourth-class pharmacist, mate. I bet you $5 that I can smoke this cigar till the ashes are at least 3 inches long before falling off.
All right, you overstuffed little windbag. You've just made a bet. Toss your money on the drum, poor flusher.
Well, here goes your next month's allowance, McGee. Now, don't come begging me for 65 cents to go see Roy Rogers.
I'll wear my khaki shorts and a beanie and go to the kids' matinee for 15 cents. All right, Doc, it's a bet. $5, 3 inches of ash.
That's a deal. I'll drop by later and pick up the $10. It'll buy me a new hat.
Getting tired of talking through the old one, Doc?
Oh, McGee.
Oh, that's all right, Mrs. McGee. He's just made a very bad bet, and it irritates him. See you later, my boy. And don't let anything jar those ashes off.
Why, that dirty, underhanded, double-dealing chest thumper? Did you hear him slam that door? Trying to make me jump and knock these ashes off. Why, that two-time and finagling pocket-picking grafting... I got a good one.
Billy Mills and the orchestra playing If You Please.
Be a full inch at least. Let's see. 1 inch out of three, that's a third. Third of $5 is three goes into five, once and two to carry the. Two goes into three. Shucks, should have made that bet for $6. It'd be easier to figure. Doggone that phone. That's 11 times it's rung and Molly not here to answer it. Okay, okay, okay. Go ahead and ring. You think I'm going to leap up and drop $5 worth of ashes? You got another? Cut it out, will you? That's better. Me with $5 at stake and the doggone telephone's got... Oh, you back, Molly?
Well, I hurried as fast as I could, McGee, but the grocery store is very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see you moved over to the couch.
Yeah, took me 15 minutes to cover the distance, but I made it. You see, lying down like this, the ashes on the cigar are perpendicular.
Oh.
The pull of gravity is through the long axis. On the other hand, if I was sitting in that chair, the ashes would go horizontal and fall of their own weight.
Oh, yeah.
Scientifically speaking, the ratio of gravity to the tensile strength of cigar ashes is indispensable. Hey, how long are these ashes by now, Molly? I'd say an inch and a half, at least, wouldn't you, an inch and a half?
Well, just about, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
You've won half your bet.
Yeah, but I almost lost it there when a truck went by a while ago. Jarred the whole house. There ought to be a law that keeps... Doggone it, Uncle Dennis, can't you come in more quiet? You gotta slam the door like that? Gee whiz, you almost knocked the ashes off this cigar.
Oh, you want the ashes knocked off, my boy? Well, here, let me have it. I'll dump them in the fireplace. Here,
No, get away from me.
No, Uncle Dennis, he can knock them off.
Go on. A big, strong boy like him can't even knock the ashes off a cigar. Why, all you gotta... Here,
get
give
away
it to
from
me,
you big palooka. These ashes are worth $5.
Oh, that's ridiculous, McGee. I can get you all you want for $3 a ton. Now, I know a fellow...
Look, Uncle Dennis, it's a wager. McGee bet Dr. Gamble he could smoke that cigar till there were 3 inches of ashes on it, you see.
Well, now, I wish I'd been here at the time. I'd have taken a piece of that bet myself. Don't know any better way to pick up a couple of bucks.
You don't seem to at that. You got less energy than a wet, dry cell. You're not even trying to get a job.
Oh, now, McGee, I am, too. Fudge.
You are not. Why, you can't walk down the street these days without somebody stopping you and offering you a job.
Oh, you can if you know where to walk.
And where did you walk?
All through the residential district, McCushla. Tramping the streets from morning till night with my snow shovel over my little shoulder.
Snow shovel? You know darn well it won't snow here for another month.
Oh, now, you see... Even the weather's against me.
It does seem that way, doesn't it, you poor lad?
Poor lad, my clavicle. He's so lazy, he wouldn't raise a hand to be excused.
Get up off of that couch and say that.
I can't.
That's what I figured.
Now, I wish you two boys wouldn't always be arguing.
Well, doggone it, I don't mind giving him his bed and board, but I resent giving him his bed and being bored.
Well, all right. I guess I'm a man who knows when he's not welcome. I'm going to go pack my bag and get out almost any day now. By next summer, at least, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll see you at dinner, Molly, darling. I got to go to the public library now.
What are you going to do at the library, Uncle Dennis?
Got to pick up a couple of books.
Gosh, every time that door slams, the house shakes like it was built on a plate of custard. This is going to be the toughest $5 I ever earn in all my life.
Well, it won't be long now, dearie. In 15 minutes, you'll either have ashes on your shirt or $10 in your trousers.
Yeah, well, I wish you'd go get a tape measure so I'd know exactly how long.
Well, hello there, folks. Hello, Molly. Hello, pal. Move over and I'll sit down beside
you. Get away from me, Wilcox. Keep your distance.
What's the matter with Dream Boy, Molly? Got the mumps?
No, he's got a bet. He made a wager with Dr. Gamble that... What's the matter, Mr. Wilcox?
I smelled corned beef and cabbage. Gee, may I stay for dinner? I haven't had any corned beef and cabbage since...
What do you mean, corned beef and cabbage, Junior? There isn't any...
That's his cigar you smell, Mr. Wilcox, and there isn't an ounce of corned beef in it. Though I won't guarantee the cabbage.
I'll have you know, this is a genuine 20-cent Pomona Bologna.
You told me 40 cents.
Well, I've smoked half of it. Now, don't jar the Chesterfield here, Junior. You'll knock these ashes off.
So what? You've got Johnson's wax on all the furniture. Cigar ashes are no problem.
Well, in this case, Mr. Wilcox...
This case is no different than any other, Molly. Everybody knocks ashes on furniture occasionally, but who cares? If varnished and enameled surfaces are protected against dust with Johnson's wax, as I know yours are, it's a very simple matter to...
Look, Junior.
Huh?
Look, I know it would delight your commercial little soul for me to drop these ashes... so you could leap up with a glad, glad cry and show how easy they could be wiped off. But I don't want to drop them, you understand?
No.
Well, it's this way, Mr. Wilcox. My horizontal husband there... made a ridiculous $5 wager with Dr. Gamble that he could smoke that zucchini zeppelin down to where it would hold 3 inches of ashes.
Well, gee whiz, I only made the...
Well, why didn't somebody tell me? I'm not one to go around just looking for excuses to tell people about how Johnson's wax protects and beautifies and makes housework so much easier. You know that.
Well, McGee?
No comment. I couldn't top that with Buck Rogers' rocket ship. Look, Junior, when you leave, and I'm not trying to rush you out, but when you do leave, and of course you're welcome to stay as long as you like, but if you do have to go right away, we really enjoy having you around, frankly, but if it's imperative that you depart, and I'll bet it is, please don't slam the door.
I'll be extremely careful, pal, and good luck with the bet.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Goodbye.
So long, Junior.
So long.
Ah, well, that's the first time today anybody'd been considerate enough to close the door softly enough so a guy...
Hey, just a suggestion, pal.
Huh?
You better warn everybody else about this door, because there's quite a wind coming up, and it's hard to keep it from slamming.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wilcox.
Yeah, much obliged, kid.
You see what I mean?
Sometimes I think that guy deliberately tries to rib me.
Oh.
And other times I'd swear to it. Hey, do these ashes look like they'd been jarred loose?
I don't think so. Say, by the way, McGee.
Huh?
What if you do get 3 inches of ashes on that cigar and Dr. Gamble doesn't get here in time to see them now? How are you going to prove anything?
Well, gee whiz, you're a witness.
Why, that's gambling and I won't be a party to it. I wash my hands of it. And I'd be lucky if I don't have to wash the couch of it.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, you got to find someone. Hey, where's my little brownie camera? When I get 3 inches of ashes, I'll take a picture of it.
Yes, and it won't be the first silly ash in our album either.
Let's see. We'll have to take a time exposure, and I don't dare move. So we'll take the shade off the lamp, see, and I'll be sitting here.
Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hello there, Alice. What woke you up, dearie?
I think it was somebody slamming the door. But I'm going right back to bed again. Were there any phone calls?
22 at a rough count, Alice. You're rooming in the wrong place, you know it. You ought to have a cot at the telephone exchange.
Oh, Mr. McGee, I'd almost take you seriously if you weren't lying there so calm and peacefully. Did I get a call from Ben?
Ben?
Yes, he's a test pilot I used to go with. His name was Ben, but he was terribly bashful, and I guess I frightened him by saying something once. Like, for instance, didn't he think that when two young people got married...
Yeah?
Well, that's all. I never did finish the question because Ben ran like everything.
That, sweet Alice, is what made Ben bolt.
Oh, but he was such a grand fellow. He's the one who presented the award last week.
Oh, what award, Alice?
Oh, didn't I tell you? The test pilots voted me the girl they'd like to make all the dives with.
Just in passing, Alice, you might tip your boyfriends off that calling up here at 5:30 a.m. is definitely unsocial. It's so cold at that time of the morning, I have to hop out of bed on 1 foot so I won't get in double pneumonia.
Oh, I will tell them, Mr. McGee, I really will. Those characters should know better than that. Oh, it was probably just one of the undertakers.
One of the what?
The undertakers. That's what we call the boys on the graveyard shift. You know, Philip is on that.
Philip?
Yes, he's a boy that I've been seeing quite a lot of him lately, although he's a middle-aged man, about 25.
Oh. Over.
It'll be almost no time before he's a doddering wreck of 30, huh?
Philip has a brother who flies one of our bombers in England. He said it's an amazing sight to look down and see those Nazi officials walking around Hamburg and Cologne.
I'll bet it is.
Yes. He says they're so dumb they don't know enough to come in out of the ruin. Well, I guess I'll go back to bed now. Good night.
Good night, dear.
And walk softly, Alice. What a kid.
Oh, I think she's sweet. And she seems to be very popular.
Yeah. Personally, I got her tag for just a little croquette.
Don't you mean croquet?
Certainly not. Croquet is what a dentist puts in your toothache.
No. That's cocaine.
Go on. A cocaine is that fuzzy little sleeping bag that a caterpillar crawls into, and in the spring he pops out and says, "Surprise, I'm a butterfly."
That, dearie, is a tycoon.
Ah, go on. A tycoon is a big manufacturer.
Of what?
Ties.
Well, anyway, you don't mean Alice is a croquette. Well,
why don't I?
Because croquette means a piece of hash with a crust on it, usually chicken.
Exactly. That's Alice. What a crust on that chicken. Every time the phone rings. Uh-oh, look at the ashes now, will you? Oh, boy, this bet is in the bag, Molly.
Well, that cigar certainly doesn't smell any better as it gets shorter. Mm. 70 days, McGee. Why, that's awful.
Hmm. Hey, maybe I'm smoking it too fast. Look at all the smoke. Boy, oh, boy, I can't even see the piano.
We haven't got a piano.
Oh. That's right. They took it out on account of we couldn't
McGee,
make
That smoke isn't from your cigar. It's coming from the kitchen. Good heavens, something must be burning. Come on.
Well, I wish I could help, Molly, but I don't dare get up. Let me know what's on
fire. The whole kitchen is blazing. Hurry, do something. The house will burn down.
Can you keep it under control till I smoke another inch on this cigar?
No, dearie, I can't. Some grease caught on fire and it's liable to spread all over the house.
Yeah, that's bad. You better call the fire department.
Oh, dear.
I'll let you know when they come. I can see the window from the couch.
But, McGee, you gotta do something. You gotta... Oh, dear, oh, dear. Hello? Give me the fire department. No, 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 Mert. Not time for that now. The fire department, please. Hello? There's a fire at 79 Wistful Vista. What? McGee, where is 79 Wistful Vista?
Oh, it's right here.
Hello, it's right here. Yes, hurry, please. They're coming right over.
Well, they better. That's what we're paying taxes for.
But, McGee, you can't just lie there and watch the house burn down.
You want to make me leap up and knock these ashes off and lose the bet? You want to make me look ridiculous? Hey, try beating the fire out with a wet blanket, and if that don't...
Oh, here they come.
Doggone it, why can't they be more quiet? Come in and don't slam the door.
Where is it?
In the kitchen.
Don't bring the chemicals.
Okay, come on.
All right, lady, one side, please.
Look out for the ladder there.
Gangway, please, gangway. The fire's going on.
Come on, hurry up. Let's get a move on.
Ah, what a cigar. What a cigar.
The King's Men singing Key Tokyo.
Buckaroo Bill rode away on a battle wagon heading for the Coral Sea. And he found it terrific to be riding the Pacific, even rougher than the Lone Prairie.
And he sang as he went to sea.
Heave-ho, what a sailor I've been.
I'm a tie-eye, yippee-tummy-o, heave-ho, yippee-tie, yonder tookie-tokie-i-o.
Lasso the anchor and away we go.
I'm a tie-yippee, yonder tookie-tokie-i-o.
Bang, bang, a boom, boom, a big bomb, a tokie-i-o.
Skipper heard Bill sounding off with the scuttlebutt and took the buckaroo's advice. And the crew, they were surely meant to send them to the Orient to put the Nipponese on ice.
So they took old Buckaroo Bill's advice.
Heave-ho, gotta put them on ice.
Tie-yi, yippee, gotta scuttle their bones. Yippee-yi, yonder tookie-davy-yi, Jones.
Lasso the anchor and away we go.
Come a tie, yippee, yonder tookie-tokie-yi,
oh. Bang, bang, a boom, boom, a big bomb, a tokie-yi, oh.
Buckaroo's gal was a pistol-packing mama, and as true as any gal could be. So the waves took her on to do a hitch or two upon the blue, and what a happy gal was she.
And she sang as she went to sea.
Come a tie-yi, yippee, come a yo, heave-ho, right side saddle in Kitokie-io.
Lasso the anchor and away we go.
Come a tie-yippee, yonder to Kitokie-io.
Come a yippee, tie, whoopee, tie, heave-ho, Kitokie-io.
Those firemen, McGee, they have the blaze out in no time.
Sure, I knew they would. I really got sore at that one guy. He was stomping around here like he owned the joint.
Well, my goodness, when somebody's house is on fire...
A minute there, I was tempted to let the thing go to bang and get up and tell those guys a thing or two off.
Oh,
what
no,
I
you couldn't do that, dearie. Not cigar for a little thing it. Like us. Like us being cremated to death alive, yes, and badly burnt
well,
besides.
Well, gee whiz. Look, I only got about three... Only got about 3/8 of an inch to go on these ashes. You wouldn't want me. Where are you going, Molly?
Going out in the kitchen, clean up. Everything is sooty and messy. Now, don't disturb yourself.
Okay. Ah, there goes a good kid. Any other woman with the house on fire would have lost her head. Wanted me to do something about it. But not her. No, sir. She's the finest. Well, come in, and quietly. Doggone it, sis, didn't you hear me tell you to come in quietly?
Why?
Well, because I got a bet on that I can smoke this cigar till it's got 3 inches of ashes onto it. And I only got...
Why?
Because that's the test of a good cigar, that's why. We had an argument about it. He said...
Who?
Doc Gamble. He told me
when?
That...
When?
About an hour ago. We were...
Where?
Oh, why, who, what, when, where, how? Will you stop asking questions?
No, I got one more, mister. What was the fire department doing here, hmm?
Putting out a fire.
Oh.
What'd you think they were doing, playing musical chairs?
Gee, were they?
No.
Hmm?
Eh?
Okay. Hey, mister, will you save all your waste paper for me, will you, please, mister, and will you, hmm, please?
Well, I guess so, sis. Why?
Well, there's really a shortage of paper now, I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is enough lumberjacks to cut the timber.
Lumberjacks.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of paper mills have had to shut down, and they need the paper for containers and cartoons.
Cartons.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, gee, they gotta have waste paper for wingtips on airplanes and parachute flares and practice bombs and everything, and it's really gonna be serious if we don't save all our waste paper, and the newspapers will tell how to get in touch with the local Savage Committee, so... Will you please do it, mister? Will you please? Hmm?
Okay, sis, okay. It's a promise. Hey, how'd you find out all this stuff?
Oh, I listen to the radio all the time, mister.
Oh, all the time, huh? 7 days a week, I suppose. What's the matter?
Well, there's only 3 days in a week, I bet you.
Only 3 days in the week?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, Monday, and always.
You've been listening to the radio too much, sis. Why don't you sit down and relax a minute, and I'll ask my wife to give you a cookie.
Oh, I don't think I better stay, mister.
Hmm?
If I see too much of you, it'll start gossip.
What you mean, sis?
People will say we're in love. Go on, mister.
You're a smart kid. One of these days, she's... Oh, hey, Molly! Molly, come here,
What's
quick!
What's the matter now, McGee?
Look, I did it! The ashes are 3 inches long! Call Doc Gamble! Gee whiz, here I was puffing away, never thinking about
come
how far
in.
Down...
Well, yeah. McGee, I've come to collect for $5.
Well, hypomydermic, look at that.
Looks like you lose the bet, Doctor. He did it all right.
I'll say I did. Look at his face, Molly.
Yeah.
He don't think any more of a fin than if he was a shark and it grew out of his back.
McGee, I didn't think it was possible. Pick up the money, my boy.
You bet.
And knock those ashes off before they fall on your face and smother you. Though there is something to be said for that, too.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll knock them off when I get darn good and ready, Doctor. And hereafter, don't tell me I don't know a good cigar when somebody gives me one.
Don't be silly, McGee. You've proved your point. Now throw those ashes in the fireplace.
Here, let me do it. You
better... No. You let go of that cigar, Doc. I'll take...
Oh, dear, you careless boys. Now you got them all over the floor. What's the matter, Doctor?
Look at that cigar, Mrs. McGee. What's that sticking out the end of it?
Looks like a hairpin.
Well, what do you know? Who'd ever thought of finding a hairpin stuck in a cigar? 40-cent cigar, too.
Why?
Now get your hands off me.
Why, you miserable little crook. You stuck a hairpin in that cigar to hold the ashes.
No, just a gag.
That isn't the most important thing.
Do we still have to take good care of the things we have, or will there soon be a larger quantity of civilian goods available? I've just read an interesting article on that subject, and it makes clear that if anything, we should still take better care of our things. True, there may be some increases of certain goods, but there will be greater shortages of others. So go right on being very careful with your household equipment, and go right on protecting your linoleum surfaces with Johnson's Glow Coat. Of course, that's a sensible thing to do at all times. First, because Glow Coat saves you hours of work. It's self-polishing, needs no rubbing or buffing. Second, because Glow Coat keeps your linoleum new-looking and beautiful, colors fresh and bright. And third, because the regular use of Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat will make your linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program has reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
This is Chicago, WMAQ. This is Chicago, WMAQ.